Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I can make you love me.
Not anymore, you're a strong six now.
I've got big ties towards Liverpool, loads of friends there, but you lot say some mad things.
Hi, and welcome to The Therapy Crouch with me, Avi Clancy.
And me, Peter Crouch.
Yeah, so we've had a few complaints about how we move on this pod.
Oh, we're going to now reference the new mics.
Yeah, so I can't... Obviously, I'm quite expressive with my hands when I talk.
As
I was wiggling my mic everywhere, but now we've got these mics, which I think is even worse.
I don't know, like when I've got the mic in my hand, I just flap it down and do this. And I think it's better for your listening experience to enjoy this hands-free. So we're doing it hands-free and it's not better for us. So you better fucking like it.
Can you still hear me over there? Roger that.
How's the week been, babe, for you?
Oh, I'm exhausted, actually.
Yeah.
After Mother's Day.
Such a lovely Mother's Day, didn't we? It all went perfectly, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I really produced this year.
Mm.
So we've had a nice week. You went to Cheltenham.
Mm. I did, yeah.
He had one, so there's one thing I say, is just text me when you get there and text me when you're on your way home, just so we know he's alive. And it was the only thing he didn't do.
Pete.
It's difficult because you go, we've got a lovely box there and I arrived and I was incredibly excited. And, you know, you see the buzz of the crowd and the hall and I just got caught up in it all. And then I thought, oh my God, I've just arrived, babe. And then it was obviously 2 hours later. I'd already watched two races.
But it's a bit hurtful that it's kind of like out of sight, out of mind.
No,
and
but
like when you kind
like
of,
it wasn't like
when you're
that.
Away from me, you just go wild.
Not at all. Excited, not wild.
Yeah, so you went a little bit race day Jack that day, didn't you?
There's only one day you can be, you know, I don't go to a lot of racing, so I was race day Jack. You know, I went Charlie Bananas. We got a helicopter and we arrived. And
so you can see why I wanted him to text me on arrival and text me the other on the other end, because I was so worried about it. I don't like helicopters. And I was so anxious and worried. And
yeah, with hindsight, I feel terrible about that, because I should have let you know that I was safe and sound.
Luckily, I got the will done before you left.
Yeah.
So that was fine.
You didn't tamper with any blades, did you?
I knew I'd be sweet one way or another. Either way.
Probably sweeter. In lots of ways.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
So did you win any races?
Yeah, I did all loads of homework. We had got loads of people with us who had done their homework. And we had lots of things structured and what we were going to bet on. And then none of them came in, apart from the one where everyone said, this is a lottery, this one. And I picked because it was called, it was had Johnny in its name.
Can you not remember the name of it? My Boy Johnny, wasn't
it? Not My Boy Johnny, no.
It's that sentimental term. He can't even remember the name.
No, I knew Johnny was in it. Johnny was in the title. I can't remember the name. It was, Johnny was in the title and he was my boy. So I'm right, I'm on this. And it came in at 9-1.
Did it, yeah?
Yeah, so that sort of saved the day, really.
Sweet.
But we had a great day anyway. I love going to Cheltenham. It's a great day out. And, you know, all the boys were very excited and we had a fun time.
I actually got invited to that, by the way. But you just didn't tell me.
Not in our group.
Yeah.
No one invited you from our group.
No, because
I love you. I absolutely adore you.
One of the girls that you work with are like, oh, I thought you were going to come to Cheltenham. You know, you're invited. And I was like, was I?
I think Ascot's more your vibe, if I'm honest. It's got...
I actually prefer to ride horses than watch them. So I've actually got back in the saddle this week. And I've been so happy all week because I used to ride, before I had Sophia, I used to ride every day, 5 years. And then had the kids, we moved up north, so I couldn't go to the stables every day. I used to ride with Tony Terry, actually, who's the most incredible rider. Like, she's proper pro, isn't she, Pete?
Mm.
Like, she could, she's just incredible to watch.
Why it's a thing, like, when you have kids, you become more nervous about riding.
Yeah,
that's what happened to you.
I just think, because you think if you fell off this horse and broke your arm, you couldn't look after your baby. And I don't know, I was just so scared, having been going there every day for 5 years of my life, to nothing.
So just stopping, yeah.
But now my little girl and boy have been horse riding lessons on a weekend, and I was just, like, gagging to get in the saddle. So I actually sat on this pony that they've got, and, like, both feet were touching the ground. It's like, poor horse. So I'm doing my own lessons.
Oh, that's great. They tried to get me on a horse, and I've been on 4 horses in my life and thrown off 3 times. I think we've discussed this before, but it's just something about me, I reckon, that they just go, no way is that thing getting on me. And they just go fucking mental.
Why is this camel trying to get on me?
Why is a giraffe
trying to get... We have discussed this. I think we discussed this last week.
We did, yeah. But like I say,
you
I just want to
like
reiterate...
a camel from the back.
I just want to reiterate that I won't be getting on any horses anytime soon. But I love going there. It's nice. It's a nice day out.
It's not like riding a bike, though.
No. Well, it's
and
not
I actually felt like age... No, I know it's not a bike.
No, but a bike's not going to throw you off. That's my thing.
Well, a motorbike would.
Well,
I've actually been through... Well, no, I've seen someone get thrown off a motorbike.
Yeah, obviously, if you could get thrown off a motorbike, like, it's an animal. It's got a brain. Like, a bike hasn't got a brain. You know, like, if it just goes, I'm having a bad day, get off. Like, a bike's not going to do that. That's my only concern with it.
Mm.
It's a living thing.
No, but before, because I was like to the girl, oh my God, I haven't been on the horse for 10 years. And she was like, it's like riding a bike. I got on it. It's absolutely not. Obviously, 15 years have passed. My knees don't bend like they used to. Like, because I walk with my feet turned out, don't I? Which is a horrible thing that I do. And I hate the way I walk. Like, my feet are like 10.
Like a penguin.
10 to 2.
But they're not flat, but the toes just go out. My dad does it as well. And even when I stand there straight, my feet are always turned out. I absolutely hate it. So when I'm in a position where I have to keep my toes straight, my knees hurt. So when my feet were in the stirrups and I had to keep my knees straight, it really hurt me. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to have to, you know, get used to this.
Get used to it again, yeah. Have you got any wines this week?
Yeah, I have.
Have you?
Yeah.
Surprised at that.
Fucking Mother's Day. Mother's Day. I've never felt more like a mum my entire life than on Mother's Day. So I got up at 6 with the kids. Yes to a cup of tea, but
it's two sides to this story.
It's
here.
Not the point. You could have at least...
Do you want to say your side to the Mother's Day and I'll say mine? Obviously, yeah. I was saying Mother's Day with a hint of irony because I know that I wasn't too pleased with it.
No, go on, you do yours first. Because I'm interested in yours.
If I do mine, can you not butt into my... Yeah?
Yeah.
You promised me you're not going to butt in.
Is this your wine piece or just general Mother's Day vibes?
It's my wine.
Okay.
How can you whine at me on Mother's Day?
I'm not whining. I just...
Sorry. That's not... Did you think of your wine when you were lying on the couch half asleep watching the Man U game? Is that when you came up with your wine? No, while I was emptying the dishwasher for the 14th time.
This doesn't feel like you not butting in.
Sorry, I'm just curious.
Would you like to start the wine? You've already started, so you might as well finish.
No, go on.
Okay. My wine is, when does it end? Like, you don't know the hours of when Mother's Day, is it the entire day?
It ends on the 15th. What's the date?
No, but like, they, you know, they can't, you can't like be a slave the entire day, you know, like there needs to be some sort of, where do you go? Like, obviously I'm up early. I was making cards with the kids at 6 o'clock. You were obviously still in bed, which I wanted you to be.
Yeah, because I was waiting in bed for the whole rigmarole of the cards and the cup of tea coming up.
We made obviously a cup of tea. We brought a little cake. Then we all made cards. I had all the kids making cards. Obviously, I bought one. We got the flowers. And then we all brought them up.
I ordered my own flowers.
No, I got the flowers. Anyway, so we all come up. We do a nice morning. And then, you know, we come downstairs, don't we? And then I took the kids out, didn't I?
No, you're because missing everything up.
Because you wouldn't let me. You wouldn't let me cook the dinner.
No, because you were actually filming me hoovering. Do you remember that? So you are full of shit.
Yeah, but I said you shouldn't be hoovering on Mother's Day.
So instead of taking the hoover off me and going, "I'll help you," he just filmed me.
I filmed us. Saying,
I had this Dyson on full blast, and he was like,
"I feel like it's ridiculous." I was filming a guy, and this is not how you should behave on Mother's Day. You know, you should be in bed. And then she's like, tidying around, you were cleaning everywhere. And how do I stop that? If she wants to do that, I can't physically drag you away.
Mother's Day in our house is like Christmas Day. Like, I want the house spotless. Mm. I'm preparing dinner for 15 people for some reason. My brother bailed, who would normally help me with the dinner. So it was really stressful. Because he was too busy getting a tattoo of a flying prawn on his arm. Literally. So I had to do everything. And when people arrive, I want everywhere to look nice and it to be as nice as possible. And that's, I know it's sad to you and you don't understand it, but that makes me happy.
No. I tried to make her have a lovely day, okay? So then I came back and...
And he was like, "I thought you were supposed to be in the spa today anyway."
Yeah.
But you didn't book it. You suggested it and then didn't book it.
Yeah, but you were all, I thought you had that in hand.
No, because by the time I tried to book it, it was fully booked.
You should have been in the spa.
It's fine. I enjoyed making every other mother at the table feel appreciated.
Oh, no.
Every other mother.
No, but you made a lovely dinner, right? But I was trying to help you. I was trying to help loads. And I took the kids out so you could do it. And then I came back and then obviously I sat on the couch. We'd had dinner. We had a lovely dinner. Obviously, I cleared it away as well. I did.
You brought your own plate over. That's not helping, babes. I was in the fucking loft getting candles out and everything.
I got the candles out of the loft, actually.
No, you didn't.
I did. And what I'm saying is,
I told you where they were.
It's like all day it was like, and then the match was on and it was a really good match. And all the boys who were there wanted to watch the match. So we sat down and watched the match. But every time you came over and said, "Oh, this is how it's going to go. It's not on Mother's Day." What? There's three matches on Mother's Day, right? I didn't watch any apart from one.
Sorry, can I just rewind there? So whilst I made him as full English on Mother's Day morning, he was watching Match of the Day. And I've got video evidence of this. Remember
but,
that?
But this is what I'm saying. I said, where does it end? Are you not allowed to watch any football on Mother's Day?
You're not allowed to do anything that makes you happy.
But why I watch so many men at the football and watching football? Why are they allowed
they
to
They must
do
all
it?
Be single. They all must have no kids or mums.
Single orphans.
They're all orphans. They're all single orphans.
I know I'm just going to throw this out there as well. This is something.
Slovens.
Single orphans.
All them single orphans hang around football matches on Mother's Day.
I'm going to throw this out there. You're not going to like this either, but you are also not my mum.
I know, but...
And it's harsh as that sounds. I know, the kid's fucked up, not me.
But I'm a mum because of you. So you should be thankful for that.
Listen, I am joking
about
it.
Fine, next year go hang around with all the single orphans.
I appreciate it. Not a problem. I appreciate you, so, like, I genuinely mean this. I really, really appreciate you, everything you do for us.
Rosie Huntington got a Jessica McCormack box.
She must be amazing to her husband. She must be amazing.
So you're basically saying I'm not good to you, so you that's why I don't get a good Mother's Day.
No, I'm joking. You're incredible for me and our family and the kids, and we don't even deserve you, and I mean that.
He was like, when I was cooking the dinner, he went, "Oh, said we should have just got a chef in for this." Shouldn't be doing all of this on Mother's Day whilst I was head to toe in bloody carrot and turnip. Stuffed by the time I had my own dinner because I've been like testing it the whole day.
I'm just not a very good chef.
I just don't enjoy my own food.
I enjoyed it. It was lovely. Honestly, I think that's the best meal you've ever made.
I know, it was sad actually.
It was beautiful.
No, I'm joking. I actually enjoy hosting. I absolutely love it. I love that our house is the go-to hub for our whole family and friends. And I love having people over and having nice food and a few drinks and like all the kids were playing. It was great.
It was such a lovely day. Mm. It really was. And
exhausting.
I'm going to do like lessons or something in roast dinnering.
A roast is one of the easiest things. Can you tell the time?
Why don't I make it with you next time? You know, next time, Sunday. I can tell the time.
Well,
yeah.
That's all you need to do with a roast dinner because it's all about literally everything just goes in the oven.
Timings.
And it's just about the timings.
Okay.
That's why I was like, Pete, what's 45 times 3?
Yeah, so I was good at that. I was involved in that. Okay, well, let me make one, right? Next Sunday, I'm going to do a roast. We'll see how we get on.
You're just don't know if it's worth it.
Why?
Because of the mess.
If you don't let me express myself, then you can't have a go at me for not making it. You're holding me back.
Okay.
Right, Dave, I've got a few audience wines here as well, and I do like these as well because I think it relates to us as well. Right, my partner takes the last and often best bite of food when we go out eating together or makes me order something that you don't really want so you can share. Does this relate Standard. To me and you?
That's just part of life, isn't it?
What?
In a relationship?
Like, unreal. Like, she'll try and order for me. And like, because she wants a taste of both meals.
But it does, we both do it to each other. You did it to me the other day when it was pizza and pasta.
I've done it a couple of times, but you've done it throughout.
Now, what I do, which really annoys him, say if we're going to like McDonald's drive-thru or something, and I'm like, oh, I don't want anything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That is nothing worse. Nothing worse.
And then eat three courses of the Big Mac myself.
She goes, no, I'm not, you know, I'm not, no way I'm eating this. I'm on a diet, whatever. And I'll go, okay, I'm going to get a burger, but you can't have any of it. And she goes, that's fine. That's totally fine. And then we get in and straight away, you have the first three bites. Not even the last ones.
I know. It is annoying on both. It's annoying on both parts, but I just think Absolute that's something shocker. That can't be ever be helped or changed.
I think it can.
I think you can.
Yeah.
No, because I don't want a whole one. I just want half.
Yeah, but I want a whole one.
You should order two then.
No, but you should order one just in case, and then have a few bites.
No, because then I'll eat the whole thing, and when I don't want to eat it, I've got no willpower when it comes to food.
That's poor. That it's not good. That it's not going to change now, is it?
Yeah, but when you go for a meal, sometimes you want a little. The thought of having like a There's nothing worse than food envy. It's like the worst. That's why I like getting like a few starters.
Everyone who knows me, right, knows that I'm a soup connoisseur, right? I adore a soup. It's ridiculous, but I do. Like, I'll have it everywhere. Wherever I go, I'll have a soup to start with some bread. And I'm a big fan of it. Mm. But, you know, the worst, obviously the first little taste of roasting hot soup is spectacular. But the moment it lands on my table, it's gone. And I'm sitting there going, oh, this looks so nice. It looks so lovely. And you do like five, six.
It's the worst when you're...
And you butter bread and dip it in. So I've only got like two bits of bread and like one of them's gone straight away.
That's what to say. It's the bread eating that's the worst. You don't mind if someone takes a little spoonful of your soup. But once they start taking your bread and butter to go with it, you're like...
But also I feel like the swiping of the soup is a bit much. Like if you lean over and so I still got it. I know it's still mine. It's in front of me. And you just go, I'll have a little bit, eh? And I go, that's fine, yeah, no problem. Like, don't take the piss, but you know, but like it's the whole fact that it's gone over to your side. You've got like some chicken wings.
And the kids do it like that. No, the kids are the worst because if you ask them, can you have a bit of their food, they'll always say no. And they'll have like a whole pizza or a whole pasta or whatever the dish is. And then I'm like, you're not going to eat all that, so just let me have a taste while it's nice and hot. And then when they let you have it, it's like freezing cold. That's the worst. Or the fact where, like, every time I make a meal for the kids, they're like, I don't like that. I don't want that. And then
we'll make a dinner for ourselves.
And then we'll make it for us. And they'll sit on my knee and eat my whole dinner. And it drives me insane. I'm like, if I made you this, you would never.
It's the snacks. Like, they'll be in the playroom, like, playing. And I think, right, I've got a window of opportunity where I can have a packet of crisps or a little slice of chocolate. And I'll go in there.
Slice of chocolate?
And it's the moment I open the cupboard. I've got four little creatures peeking at me. You know, like, it's eight eyes
it's
going,
like, what's
what are you doing, Dad? And I'll go, fuck off.
It's
I just
like
want
that,
a bag of crisps. I want some hula hoops on my own. And then you've got all the little hands going in. Piss off.
I know, it drives me mad. They literally take everything, don't they?
Oh, it's constant, isn't it?
Constant.
God. So I get you on that one. I've got one more wine here. This is a good one as well. This one's about making a lot of noise when one of the people is getting up for work early, slamming doors, singing in the shower when you don't need to be up for another hour.
I don't do that, and neither do you.
No, I'm like a mouse. You're quite loud, but I'm often up before you.
Yeah, but if I have to go to work earlier than you,
then the light's on, the hair dryer's on, the makeup's, yeah, like, it's a full on, like, it's broad daylight in the whole room.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Hair dryer's on. Because you just get dressed and walk out. You don't even look in the mirror. Whereas
I get dressed in the dark, you know.
Clearly.
Do you know the other thing, like, just while we're on this subject, is that hair dryer, right? You drag it over to where the mirror is. So I literally, first thing in the morning, have to high jump a wire to get anywhere near my clothes. I either have to limbo the wire or jump over it.
I know.
And I have to go back and forth. Like,
it's so annoying.
It's like the Crimson Factor, getting ready in the morning.
It's like Takeshi's Castle in the morning, trying to get ready.
And I'm thinking, if I catch it, it's like, it's not the high jumpers. At least they land onto a mat and the bar falls off. With me, it's certain death. It's like, I'm thinking the tongs might burn you alive, or they could get wrapped around something. Or unless, if I don't get that jump right in the morning, hell could break loose.
This goes back to, like, building up when we built our own house. We didn't actually make an area to do our hair and makeup, which is ridiculous.
The plug should be on that side. Why is it down there?
There is one on that side, but it's behind the drawer. And if I don't want it left out on the worktop.
Do you know what else is behind this drawer or mirror, as it is now? The heating in the bedroom. So it's because no one can get anywhere near it, right? It's
like Narnia, I'll go to bed.
Absolutely freezing in there now. No one can go anywhere near it because it's behind a mirror. So not only am I pole vaulting over a wire, I'm also freezing because I can't get to the heat.
Use those tongs to warm your hands, don't they?
I'm literally going near the tongs to, like, warm my hands.
I know, it is a poor design.
Okay, so I think that concludes the wines, really. I enjoyed that. I think we got a lot off our chest. I'm going to be better Mother's Day because you deserve it. I'm going to make the roast. I'm not going to watch any football.
It's not about you watching football or not doing anything. It's just annoying that mums have one day a year.
Fuck off.
What?
You joking?
No.
How many days are there now? It's a joke. Like, anniversaries are for you. The Valentine's for you.
For me or for women in general?
Women in general. Mother's Day. You know, there's the International Women's Day I saw, you know, recently. There's a lot of days out there. What I'm saying is I think I do make a fuss of you, and I think it's sometimes there's a lot. You say to me I have one day a year, but there's a lot of days.
Yeah, but as a woman, you do joke and go, oh, God, men are so useless. They don't do this, don't do that. It would be nice to just pull the stops out the bag. And it doesn't have to be materialistic things at all.
Are you telling me I haven't pulled the stops out recently, like, with lots of things that I've done?
For Mother's Day?
No, not necessarily for Mother's Day.
I'm only talking about Mother's Day. Okay. I'm not talking about life. I'm talking about Mother's Day. Because I've had four kids as well, by the way. So it needs to be four times better than usual.
Why off our chest?
Talked about high maintenance, didn't we, in the last on the last podcast?
No, it's not that. That's exactly what I'm trying to say. It's not like a high maintenance thing. It'd just be nice to be appreciated and recognised.
You are appreciated. Like I tell you every day, I appreciated you are. Totally appreciate you. Right, well, babe, I don't know, I got a bit hairy. I hope you know I appreciate you. And
no, because it's like I'm being serious now, joking aside. It's not nice to be called high maintenance because you just want a little bit of a surprise.
Okay.
Just saying.
I'll bear that in mind.
I'm not cheersing to this unless this is resolved. Because I don't feel like it is. No, genuinely. Because the whole point of the weekly wine, I've been getting loads of listeners messaging me on Instagram and our website about how this weekly wine club has really helped them. Like they sit down and talk about the problems with a little glass of wine, it's over and done with. But if it's not over and done with, it's completely pointless.
Well, let's wait and see kind of what the reaction is here. Like, I'm sure there'll be lots of women messaging in saying, my husband was useless, this and that, and you know, but I'd like
to hear... It's not a men-hating podcast, this, by the way.
No, but I'd like to hear from... Lots of men listen to it as well. I'd like to hear their point of view, you know... Is it acceptable to be able to watch the football? You know, where do you go? Do you have to make the dinner? You know, what are the rules and boundaries?
Okay, should we move on from Mother's
Let's
Day?
Let's move on, yeah. Cheers.
So do you know what you need to do?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promote for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Chop my balls off.
Put them in your pen.
And hand them to you on a platter.
A little bit of brie. Since doing this podcast, getting loads of people messaging saying Pete sounds scouse.
Mm-hmm. It's because I'm hanging around with you lot so much.
But when I first met you, you had a Brummie accent.
It's adaptable. I've moved around so many places. South Coast, London.
He's the West Side.
I grew up in London, right? West London. And I don't know what... Yeah, there's certain things that, like, words that you say that I laughed at first that now I say. And we're getting into that on this podcast today. We're, you know, discussing... I mean, I love Liverpool as a city. Mm. Absolutely love it. I like... The people are so friendly. They were so welcoming towards me. Your family's been incredibly welcoming towards me, and obviously you, you know, I love you. So I've got big ties towards Liverpool, loads of friends there, but you lot say some mad things.
So people down south think I'm incomprehensible, but in Liverpool, they think I'm so posh now.
Yeah, you're considered quite posh up there.
Yeah, because there are various levels of strengths of the Scouse accent.
Yeah, I mean,
but if you're North End or South End, the accent does differ.
Yeah, no, I think there's definitely the like bigger strength of the Scouse accent, without doubt. you don't sound it. I don't hear it on you at all now. But people then come up to us and go like, oh my God, like, you're really Scouse, but you're not in the scheme of things.
My dad's so Scouse, isn't he?
Mm.
And my dad's friends.
But I wanted to drill down on a few of the words, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Because when I first went up to Liverpool, I saw, you know, some things that I thought that doesn't happen anywhere else.
What do you mean? Like what?
Well, when I was driving to Melwood one day, and I remember seeing on a Saturday before a game that, like, women in rollers.
Hair rollers,
like, walking down the road. I've not seen. From the south, I hadn't seen that before.
Yeah, because there are a lot of differences. There are a lot of differences between, like, northern and southern girls, I think. Because I remember years ago, like, in the early 90s, when my mum went for a night out in London, and she said she had these incredible suede pointy stilettos on with all, like, diamonds up the back, and she had a big maxi dress onto the floor, and all the girls were in, like, jeans and t-shirts, and that's fine. It's, like, different styles. But for Liverpool girls, they are renowned for being done up to death at all times and take a lot of pride in the way they look, and they live to go out of a weekend. So I think I'm definitely more southern in that aspect now, because I'm, like, literally like a tramp every day, like, gym stuff on, jeans. I'm a lot more relaxed. But in Liverpool,
that doesn't happen.
No.
You get done up. It's like any kind of meal or...
Everything is an occasion.
Which is great, I think.
And they spend the whole day getting ready. So you'll get your hair done, you'll get your curly blow in the morning, the rollers are in all day, and you take them out the second before you're going out at night. You know, that is just
a thing. That's insane. It's
but they're absolutely gorgeous.
But they look great. They look great. Yeah,
and Ireland's similar to that as well. Like, I think it's a northern thing in general, actually.
Newcastle.
Scotland.
Yeah. There's a couple of words, like, there's a few things that you say that aren't correct. Like lolly ice. I can't get on board with that. I love some of the Scouse phrases. I love them. They're amazing. But lolly ice is something that should never be said.
You do say it, though?
I don't. I've never said that ever.
So what do you say?
It's an iced lolly. So it's not an iced lolly.
Do you say
ice? It's not a lolly iced, is it?
No, but it's not an iced lolly. It's an ice lolly.
An ice lolly, yeah. But what I'm saying is it's an iced lolly, right? It's not a lolly iced. So it's an ice lolly. It's not a lolly ice.
I know, but it just rolls off the tongue better, doesn't it?
Geez, yes, so
lolly ice?
I can't believe you say lolly ice. And the kids are saying it. And I said, I had to correct them. I said, it's not lolly ice, you know.
Can I have a lolly
ice? And
they
said, well, it is, Dad. I said, no, you've just been around your mum too much.
But they are half Scouse. You're actually northern yourself. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm not.
Pete was born in Macclesfield. Oh, right. So you could have been saying lolly ass.
Would that make me a wall?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do they say in Macclesfield for lolly ice?
They'd say...
say ice pole.
They'd say ice, not ice pole.
They'll say, do you want an ice pole?
An ice pole.
What is the accent there?
It's just a normal accent.
Manchester?
Yeah, it's like they're in Manchester, yeah.
So the Manchester people would say, can I have an ice pole?
An ice pole. No one's ever said ice pole.
Ice
if you lolly. Say ice pole, you that's...
You'd say ice lolly.
You're an imbecile. It's not a lolly ice. It never will be. It's only in Liverpool is it lolly ice. I could not believe it.
Would you call an ice cream a lolly ice or just a lolly ice a lolly ice?
No, lolly ice. An ice cream's an ice cream. What would you call an ice cream? An ice cream.
Cream ice.
Exactly.
That's I say chalk ice. Do you say chalk ice?
Yeah, chalk ice.
So there we go. Point proven.
Yeah, but a chalk ice is branded a chalk ice. A lolly ice has never been a lolly ice. No one's ever called it that, apart from people in Liverpool.
Lolly ice.
Well, while we're on phrases, right? A wool, right? Okay, woolly back. So I don't know how derogatory this is. So if
you are a wool,
I'm not a wool. But if you are a wool, I apologise. But a wool to me is someone who's pretending to be a Scouser who's on the outskirts, like St Helens or something like that. Is that correct?
So basically, Liverpool's its own entity and it's its own space. So anyone who's basically not from Liverpool is a wool. But it's mainly directed at people from the Wirral.
On the outskirts.
On the outskirts of Liverpool trying to get into us.
Not true Scousers is what
you're saying. Not true Scousers. But I've got loads of wool friends.
Yeah.
The origin of the term woolly back comes from, like, you know, all the trading that went on in the port, and when people used to carry the wool and bales on the back and have like little bits of wool left on them, they were called woolly backs.
So maybe they're coming into Liverpool from a place where they're carrying bales of hay. Into Liverpool, so they've literally got a woolly back.
Yeah, but it wasn't hay they were carrying, it's wool.
Oh, it's wool, sorry.
Hay back.
Oh, he's such a hay, him.
Sorry, wool, that's what I meant, not hay. Do you know the one that gets me, right, is the one in your phone where you go through and anyone who's in your family is under R. John, R. Ross, R. Fran.
Yeah.
Right. So I know you say it like it's like it's our family, so it'd be R. But in your phone, if you go into it, anyone in your family is under the letter R.
Yeah.
For R. Fran, R. John, R. Ross.
Mm.
What? Explain that.
I don't know. I think it's just because family is a lot of people in Liverpool. And like I grew up with all my cousins, aunties, uncles, nan around me on a daily basis. And, you know, it's very inclusive in that way. And I just think you're always like, oh, our Fran, our Ross, our...
Like, I think it's nice. I'm not, I think it's nice.
Because even you, oh, people say, like, mum said, or dad said, dad wants us to go out tonight.
Why did that accent? Why do you have to do that accent?
I don't know. Dad said, let's meet up around 7:30 tonight. Well, I would never say that.
Why am I posh now?
You're not posh.
Yeah, but you're saying, you're going like, Dad said.
Dad thought that film was hilarious. I would never say
that?
Dad or mum. I'd say me mum, yeah, or me dad. So it's kind of, I don't know, it's but making what, everything yours and like your
yeah,
one unit,
also, but
maybe.
I think it's like, it's different to what you do in any other walk of life. So you are like, Scousers are famous for shortening absolutely everything. My name is Peter, right? I thought Pete was short enough, but it's not. Your dad calls me P.
Right, so Ian, the shortest Ian. Name in the dictionary, really.
E.
E. Yeah, A-E.
E, P, you know, everything's you. Like even shorter. So that doesn't make any sense. Like when it's Fran, to be R Fran, you're now lengthening words.
Yeah.
Just contradictory.
No, because it's just when you're talking about someone who you love, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. That makes good sense.
Yeah.
Someone that you love is R.
See, I've never heard you say, oh, my mum called.
I would say to you, my mum's just called.
No, you wouldn't. You say mum.
Mum's just called. I wouldn't say that.
Dad's just been on the blower.
Dad's just been on the blower.
Dad's just been on the dog and bone. Mum's just ran up the apples and pears. Literally. I hate it when people just say mum. Oh, mum said. That's has to be me mum. Me dad.
No, if I said... Me mum's just called. You go, he's gone.
Me mum's just called me, innit?
Me mum's just
called. Wants a lolly ice?
Our Sarah's, or something, whatever.
Yeah, you don't say our Sarah.
No, of course not. I'd say my mother's just called me. I'd say, look, this is what I would say. No jokes. I would say, my mum's just called. What's wrong with that?
My mum.
My mum's just called.
I don't even like the use of my. It's got to be me, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Me.
My mum's just called.
Me mum.
Mimi, mama.
Ah, Sarah. I'll just say, Sarah's called.
Yeah, but then you're like, Sarah who?
Yeah.
That's true. That's okay.
So it's like,
ah,
Sarah. Sarah. Yeah, it's not like Sarah down the road or Sarah I work with.
Yeah, okay, yeah. All right. Yeah, you say, okay, that makes sense. Well done.
Well done.
I've got some belters here. I don't know if you want me to read them out.
Yeah, I do.
One that you say a lot, Antwacky.
Antwacky. I want to know if Antwacky was an actual person. So basically...
It's not... Sorry.
Have you seen how it's spelled?
Yeah.
It's not Antwacky, is it?
No, but it... I know that. I'm not completely fucking stupid. I'm not completely stupid. I was just...
Sorry.
No, but where it's derived from... I was wondering if there was a woman called Anne Twacky.
It feels like that's an olden day word, I would say.
So Anne Twacky is what Scousers use to describe someone who's old fashioned or has got no style or a bit outdated. Mm-hmm. So yeah. When I first met Peters, and everyone was like,
it.
Do you like him?
Saying it.
And I was like, yeah. But
he's listen, I'm Antwacky, were you? An Antwacky wall.
He's nice, was he a bit Antwacky?
Would you? You wouldn't class me as Antwacky, surely. I'm not Antwacky, am I?
Not anymore.
Not anymore. You're a strong six now. Antwacky.
It is a good word, but what? It's a strange word, isn't it?
It reminds me of like a vintage.
I wonder where. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like vintage. It's old. Yeah, look. Northern English, it's wrote in. Antwacky, informal Northern English.
Like the rest of the words Scouse, in the Scouse,
basically.
Scouse dictionary.
Old-fashioned, out of date. Out of date. Where does it come from? The origin Antwack is used to refer to something or someone who is old-fashioned or out of date. Its origin is linked to the word antique. And in all probability, the word came about pronouncing the word antique incorrectly, as most Scousers do.
Shut up.
Does that make sense?
Because when Pete asked me, like, what does Antwacky mean? And I was like, it's like out of date, old fashioned. And then he was like, going in the fridge. Babe, is this meat Antwacky?
I never said that. I did that way.
Oh, you did once.
But
like, that's not how you use it, Antwacky.
That's
Pete's like,
true.
Babe, is this steak Antwacky? I'm like, what are you talking about?
Down with the Scousers, blood.
My favourite Scouse word's trying to.
But it's a form of, it's like Cockney. Like Cockney, there's a lot of words in like Cockney that are similar, like shortened or, you know, Cockney rhyming slang. There's a lot of slang involved, isn't there?
But how, no one takes the piss out of them.
Yeah, they do.
Do they?
Well, they don't sound as funny, do they?
Do you know what? I love the Scouse accent and I miss it. Like every time I hear it. I do love it.
No, I love it, and I think it's
that
it's very very
Irish and Geordie and Scottish actually are my favourite accents. What?
I'm just thinking of you doing my accent. It's hilarious.
You because you haven't gone. This is our goal.
I can't believe the levels of disrespect. The level
but
of disrespect is phenomenal.
Even Sophia does. All the kids do it as well. It's just droney, but I suppose like if a giraffe spoke, that'd be the voice. It wouldn't be a quick, like if a monkey could talk, it'd be like quick and probably Scouse. But a giraffe wouldn't have like a quick animated accent. It'd be quite like that, wouldn't it?
It's the gormless face.
It's the gormless face as well, isn't it? It's like, it's the gormlessness of the face, I think, I'm finding offensive.
But you don't do it when you're punting. So it's only me who has to suffer with it. Like when you're on telly.
She's a real suffer. Why aren't you when you're going, Fran and up the Aussie and Twacky? What about, I'm the one suffering.
It's so funny because before our kids start school, they're so Scouse because they're with me, like in the house of the day and I'm speaking to them all day. Remember when, like, Sophia used to be in the high chair and be like, I'm stuck.
Yeah, she did, yeah.
She wanted to get out and be like, I'm stuck. And Jack says me now, doesn't he? He's got me car. He's got me dinosaur.
Yeah, it's good.
And then they kind of go to their posh Surrey school and it gets walloped out of them.
Yeah, when I used to go to, like, Melwood and stuff, and you see the kids outside, like, if you'd scored on the weekend, you'd do a few autographs and it was like, oh, go ahead, Crouchy lad.
They'd be like, your boss, you Crouchy.
Boss at last. Like, boss and go ahead is
do it properly. Because you can do it. Your Scouse accent. You are good at it.
It's been a while though. I don't know. I feel under pressure now.
Don't be under pressure.
Come on. Oh, your eyebrows twitching. Burnley, you can do this.
Your eyebrows just been twitching.
Is it? It's nerves.
Is that because you're in the room with three Scousers?
Yeah. I feel under pressure.
Go on, do it.
What do you want me to say?
Anything. Just say, babe, do you want me to book you into a spa next Mother's Day and cook all the dinner for you when you get home?
Babe, do you want to book me into the spa next week? Shall I book you in the spa next week? Fucking hell. Fuck's sake, lad.
We don't all swear, you know.
You do. Swear a lot.
I know I do.
No fucking
doubt. Fucking hell.
But there are stronger accents than mine.
What does it mean to you, like, the place?
Liverpool?
Yeah.
The thing I love most about Liverpool is, like, the sense of community. You know, for me, growing up, I was always surrounded by family, aunties, uncles, cousins, and it was like a weekly thing. Like, everyone would always get together. Actually, most nights after school, you'd be going around to each other's house having tea, and then together on the weekends. It's like, I think it's quite unusual in that sense.
I found when I signed for the club, for Liverpool, it was like, if you're in. And if anyone...
And if you're out, you're out.
Yeah. Yeah, literally like that. And I think when you are in, it's such a sense of, like, power. Like, you feel like you're just well looked after all the time. Like, when I didn't score for ages, in that moment, I felt the whole love from the city. You know, like, it was like everyone else was having a go at me. But it was like I had so many people behind me.
You had the Scouse army behind you.
Having my back, yeah. And it did feel like that. And I don't feel like I've ever come out of that. I felt like, almost like an adopted Scouser. Like, I feel like whenever I go back there, people are so friendly to me and, like, will always look after me. And, you know, I often go out with your dad for a beer and stuff like that, and everyone's just so welcoming. And it's like, you know, come in here or we look after you. And they're just all looking, and it feels like I'm getting looked after all the time. And you don't have that anywhere else, which is an amazing quality to have.
And considering it's such a small place as well. You know, there's so many amazing things to come out of it. Like, obviously, you've got Liverpool and Everton Football Club. You've got the Beatles. So many incredible musicians over the years. So much talent. You know, it is an amazing place. But for me, what really stands out is that kind of, as you say, I think Scousers, like, have each other's back. Like, when you're in.
Yeah, well, that's something that resonated with me. And like I say, whenever I go back, I feel like you know, that's almost like a part of me now. And, you know, I spent a few years there at the club. And when you realise the size of the football club as well, and the size of the sort of, like, the amount of passion for their football, it's like when I signed from Southampton, and I could walk around Southampton, and obviously people that know football know who you are and things like that. But then when you go to Liverpool, it's like everyone is just...
So do you notice that? Like, because obviously you've played for Tottenham, Norwich, yeah. Aston Villa.
Well done, babe. That's three. You did well.
Burnley.
So would you say Liverpool stands out to being quite unusual in that way? Like,
yeah, I just think because it's like grandmas or five-year-olds.
Or mums.
You know, women, children, men, whoever you are, everyone knows about football. It's a football-obsessed city. And... you know, everyone has someone in the family that goes to the game. They are incredibly passionate about it. And rightly so, because the club are so successful, or have been so successful over the years.
It's one of the best teams in the world, isn't it?
Yeah, without doubt. You know, one of the biggest
Liverpool,
clubs
that
in the
is
world.
Not Evan, by the way.
Liverpool are all right as well.
says the blue nose over there. Toffee muncher. Is that what they get called?
Well, they do now.
I thought they were something to do with Everton and toffees.
Yeah, they're called toffees, yeah. It was good, babe. Toffee muncher.
We'll go with that. But I think what stands out is everything is based on sense of humour. Like, everyone takes the pee out of each other. There's, like, fast wit and humour in Liverpool. Like, everyone's like a comedian, I think.
I've got to get into sort of like the chippies, or, you know, I would call them the fish and chip shop.
Yeah, because that's all you can get in London, fish or chips. You don't even get a pot of curry.
No, you can get curry sauce. You wouldn't get
not in everyone. No, you can't,
you
Pete.
You wouldn't get gravy.
Oh, but that's
that.
Gravy.
Is that more a Manchester thing, or is that happening in Liverpool? As
curry
well?
Chip balm. Oh my God, they were
the word balm is mad as well.
Balm cake.
That was a balm. That's something you put on your lips to, like, keep them from drying.
Something you put on your itchy ass. Balm. Balm. Soothing balm. No,
it's something you put chips in.
Arse balm. No, it is curry chip balm.
But
you have to have loads of butter.
Also, balm cake. It's not a cake and it's not a balm.
A balm is like, for anyone who doesn't know, it's just like a kind of a bap. It's not a roll.
It's
like
a roll.
You'd
it's
say,
like,
bacon,
I'd say a bacon roll.
And
you would say a bacon balm or balm.
I wouldn't say a bap. Bacon butty, I'd say.
Eat butty as well. Yeah, that's not.
Sausage butty.
That's not correct.
We've got Scouse.
Oh, big fan of that. It's a stew. What? Where I'm from, I think.
You've just hot pot.
Like a stew.
You call it a hot pot up in Lancashire where you're from.
Listen, I was born in Macclesfield, you know, and my, I think no, my gran or my mum would say
there's nothing
hot
wrong
pot.
With that.
I think they would say hot pot. But I moved very quickly and came down south.
Yeah.
And now I would call it a stew. But like...
But you don't call it stew, you call it scouse now.
Yeah, because you say I'm making scouse. So I obviously, you know, I have to dumb down a bit, don't I?
Careful, Pete. Next time you're walking through Lark Lane, you'll be getting your head kicked in. Don't dish our local cuisine.
Scouse is unreal, and the way you make it is amazing. Like those dumplings, the, you know, the braising steak in it, carrots. Yep. Awesome. Well, listen, I love the fact you're from Liverpool. I love the fact you're proud of from being from Liverpool, and I feel proud that I've been associated to Liverpool. And I know we don't live there anymore, but I want our kids to be involved in it because it's a big part of your life. It's a big part of my life. Mm. And I want them to feel, you know, part of that as well.
Yeah.
So we will always go back and listen, the terms are hilarious, some of them. And the ways are different to lots of places, but that's what makes it special.
Mm.
Should we get into some of the listener questions?
Yeah. Agony Ab,
baby. So,
oh, Agony Ab, she needs your help.
Okay. Dear Agony Ab, I need your help. So I might be one of your older listeners and I've been single for 20 plus years. I've lost my confidence a bit when it comes to love. But I'm over being alone and I'm watching everyone floating through life, all loved up while I'm sat on the sidelines watching. Since I left my husband, I was well and truly off men. And until now, I have completely neglected the way I look, making this entire situation even more difficult. You are so beautiful and I love your style. What are the top things you would suggest for me to get myself ready and put myself back out there again? Pete, if there is anything you think I should be doing, please let me know. Well, I think anyone going through a breakup, you know, is heartbreaking and you would naturally lose your confidence. You know, I don't know under what circumstances he broke up, but that would leave anyone feeling low in the self-esteem and, you know, neglecting themselves in that way, I think.
I think a lot to do with this is confidence. Like, so how do you get your confidence back, right? And I think that is by getting out there. I don't know your circumstances, but I think like exercise, mentally and physically, you feel better. And if you feel better, you become more confident.
Yeah.
And if you become more confident, become more attractive.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, there will be someone out there, someone for everyone, right? So, and if she's... you know, doing stuff and feeling better about herself, then when she puts on an outfit to go out on the town, she feels better about herself. And I think that attracts other people. And, you know, it might take time, but I think get yourself right before you start thinking about anyone else, because once you feel good about yourself, then...
You'll attract it.
It all comes.
Well, for me, if I want to, like, boost my confidence, it's all about feeling good for yourself. It's not for anyone else. What I like to do... is I do like to go to the gym or do things for myself. Like, you know, I've just started horse riding. That's given me a real boost. You know, it's a passion of mine and I've got back into it and already I feel like my mood's uplifted. So exercise, you know, again, that can be a really tricky thing to get back into. But once you start, you can't stop.
You get into it, yeah.
You get into it and, you know, all the endorphins are flushing through your body, oxygen, you just feel alive, you have more energy. And then naturally you don't want to eat rubbish because you're like, I feel good. I don't want to put anything bad in my body. Then you start looking better. Then you go, oh, I'm going to buy myself a nice outfit, feel good. And it's just a snowball effect.
Mm.
That's how I would approach it.
Right, I got another one here. Hey, Abby and Peter. So my mum's been single what feels like forever now. And every relationship in whilst I was growing up was very short-lived and turned out to be a bit of a disappointment. But at last, she's met a nice man. They've been dating for a few months and decided to move in together. So far, so good. His son has just moved back from America and we all went to his welcome home party. It turns out that the son is the fittest human on earth. And he's also a great crack. My mum and his dad stayed for a bit, but left around 11. He invited me to stay, which I ended up doing. And one thing led to another.
Him?
And let's just say the bonk beats were on full blast. We've continued to keep it going, but I now fear this may be turning into something more serious. It feels very wrong that we're sneaking around, but he's also my brother from another mother.
Sorry, what? This isn't Jeremy Kyle's podcast show, guys. Just FYI.
What should I do? Rachel, she's only 20. She's Belfrost.
Well, they're technically not related.
Can I just keep it going for a little bit while longer and then just see sort of like when it becomes serious, that's when you need to broach the situation.
Well, it's not going to be that serious at age 20, is it?
Wait, is she saying it's becoming a bit serious now? Maybe. For her. You know, maybe it is.
But it's like, do you remember when you were little and you used to go around to like your mum and dad's mates' houses and like you'd fancy like their sons and stuff or their daughters? It's kind of like that vibe, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, they're still very young, aren't they?
I was like 12 or something.
Still young. And I think if you split up with your husband and like you go out with someone new and you bring someone else into the household, like you always want them obviously to get on.
But you always
run the risk of this happening, really. They're young and if they're attractive.
I just think it is, as you say, a risk, you know, that comes along with that territory, blending families together. But what would you say?
From who?
From the mum's perspective, do you think?
Well, can't she say to her mum, I've got feelings for...
I've got feet.
The son or whatever.
20-year-olds don't say that, babe.
Well, yeah, but she doesn't want to say I'm shagging him, does she?
Well, for me, it's really important that my daughter can have an open relationship with me. So I kind of...
Well, hopefully she's got that relationship where she can go, I quite like the son.
Well, if she's not snogging your new girlfriend's son one day.
What do you mean?
That's the same thing.
What the... Oh, yeah, but I'm not splitting up with you.
Yeah, I know, but if you did, that would be the thing, wouldn't it?
I mean, that's a long way down the line. We're supposed to be doing other people, like helping other people. A long way down the line.
I think she should tell her mum. She should say to her mum, look, is it serious with, what's his name?
Yeah, I don't think he's got a name at the moment.
Is it serious because...
Hunk.
Hunk. Because me and his son, Hunk Jr., are really getting on.
Yeah, I think be honest in this situation. If it's, you know, if it's a one-time thing, then don't lie.
I just think this must happen a lot. You know, when families get together and get introduced to, you know, sons and daughters, you know, this is bound to happen.
Hi, Abby and Pete. Love the pod. Abs, you are my style icon. Your relationship is the ultimate goal. I've been in a situationship for 4 years.
Situationship?
A situationship.
What's a situationship?
Well, I think we're about to find out.
I love that word.
A situationship.
You got
about
my attention
4 years.
With that.
You put it in inverted commas as well. Situationship. I've just turned 25 and I'm starting to really worry about my future. The guy in said situationship refuses to discuss the future. Call me his girlfriend or have me anywhere near his friends and family, but often tells me he loves me.
Bullshit.
Another guy from work has started taking a big interest and is talking about all the things I want in the future and how he wants a chance to give me all the things I want. Should I give guy one an ultimatum or accept that it's never going to happen and try with guy two?
So I think that's a million red flags right there. If they can't introduce you to friends and family, they don't want to call you your girlfriend.
4 years is a long time.
4 years is such
I think
a long
you'd,
time.
As a girl, you'd probably expect... girlfriend introductions now after four
yeah,
years.
Pete, like we met each other's families after like weeks.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like it's a long time to go.
And don't get me wrong, I'm not like every girlfriend you go out with or everyone you meet on a Saturday night, I wouldn't be rushing to introduce them to your family. But after 4 years, bloody hell.
It's a long time, isn't it?
Mm.
I think even I don't get. Surely you've got to meet the friends. I don't think you have to meet family, but like friends, like what you do on a Saturday, like you've got to know the person that you're getting involved with.
But it depends, doesn't it? If you're like a close-knit family like I am, then it would be unusual for you to not be involved in that, considering like I hang around with my brothers and sister and, you know, that would be so weird.
Looking at this from a different angle, What if his friends are Bellens and he doesn't like his family and he actually really likes her?
That's just not... Men aren't complex enough to even think of that.
They're not complex enough. I just did, and I'm a man.
No, but I mean, he doesn't want... He's got another girlfriend.
Yeah, but that's where you're going with it, right? But from a man's perspective, he might genuinely be a little bit embarrassed about, you know, he might be race day Jack. He could be pretending to be someone because he really likes her and he doesn't want her to find out that
that's no basis for a relationship anyway.
Yeah, but saying it's not worth giving up and saying, oh, he's a cheat, he's a liar, when actually it might be an issue on his side.
Yeah, but that doesn't explain... I'm not going to call you my girlfriend, does it?
No.
So he is a liar and a cheat.
Yeah, he is. Correct. Ultimatum. Go out with guy two. Yeah.
Definitely. Hi, Ab. Please help. I literally feel like I'm losing the plot. My boyfriend of 5.5 years broke up with me on Christmas Eve because we argued too much. Honestly, the arguments were petty. I nagged because the house is a mess and stuff like that. And the point is, I turned 30 last week and I'm sort of having a meltdown. I've downloaded Hinge and Tinder, etc., but I don't fancy anyone, and it doesn't help that my ex is a 6'2" supermodel, doesn't drink, he's family orientated, and he's just all round ideal. And I don't fancy anyone else. I swear I'm going to be alone with my 5 dogs. I don't get out much either, as most of my friends have settled down and I work from home. I've got an amazing job. I've bought my own house. I have a lovely car, so I should be grateful. But it's hard to see that at the moment because I'm heartbroken. Please help.
I worry about this for you. If we split up.
What do you mean?
Well, he's 6'2".
You just said you're never splitting up with me, like the previous question.
Oh, I know, but I just think if we split up.
You've changed your mind?
You'd struggle because the benchmark's been set.
Do you know what, babe? You're not wrong there. I'll agree with you on that one.
Obviously, I'm joking there. I don't think... she's finding it difficult because she still seems to have loved.
The thing is, she's still in love. She sounds to me like she's still in love, so she can't move on. And that this is just proof that, you know, nice house, nice cars don't make you entirely happy. You know, if your home isn't filled with love and you're not red and dirty with your love sitting next to you, nothing else
but
matters.
But also, it means those trivial arguments about, you know, Mother's Day and the house being messy, they build up and things can happen. You know what I mean?
If you want to leave Pete, you know where the door is. It's there.
Just a warning.
Don't dare warn me, I'll warn you.
You'll never get as good as me. No chance.
Likewise.
True. And you'd be alone with your 5 dogs. Well, not for long.
I'd actually prefer having 5 dogs than you. That's the one thing I would have. I'd have more pets. More pets.
You'd be a sad dog woman.
Don't offend our dog fans.
Yeah, but 5's a bit much, isn't it?
Depends.
Anyway, so what does she do? She's struggling. No one compares to her ex.
Can't she get back in touch with them?
I think maybe you reach out, no? Yeah. It's obvious that this guy is...
the one.
Is the one. It feels that way.
But that's the thing. There's nothing harder than like a one-way love, is there?
No, I agree with
that's
that.
It's like the biggest like heartbreak if because you can't make someone love you.
I can make you love me.
Whose song's that?
Don't know. So I think try and reach out and maybe say, do you know what? I think we should put these petty differences behind and give it a go.
Yeah, but he might have used that as an excuse to get rid.
It's difficult when you don't know all the background.
How do you boys dump people?
Slow ghost. Stop texting back.
Ghost? I think, do you ghost people?
I think ghost's probably the man way about it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ghost?
Yeah, just oh my God. Cut all ties.
If you ghosted me, I'd literally turn up at your house. The fucking...
There's no way I could ghost you unless I moved to like this. I'd have to move to like the Nairobi or something.
You'd have to pretend to be dead forever.
I do what that fella did.
Yeah. No, ghosting's awful because you. There's nothing worse than someone not replying. It makes you so angry.
I suppose it's the wondering, isn't it? Like Where is he? Who's but like, I think it'd be slightly different now. We've got four kids and like we've been married and stuff. If I just ghosted you now, if I just ghosted you now, I think I'd be a bit out of order.
Imagine you ghosted me now.
But imagine, seriously, if I just
ghosted you. You ghosted me when you were in Cheltenham last week?
No.
If I literally
just went out, right, and gone.
People do that.
All right, next question. I absolutely love your podcast. They get me through a journey to and from work. It's like waiting for the next episode of your favourite series when I finish it the day it comes out and I have to wait a week for the new one. I laugh out loud every time. You guys are amazing. Very nice, very nice. I have two little boys, a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old, and they just don't seem to get on. They play nicely for a maximum of 30 minutes if we're lucky. Then we have to separate them before one of them scratches or punches or throw something at the other. I don't fancy being referee anymore. Do your kids get on? And when they don't, do you help them to be mates? I tell them they're lucky to have siblings, but they don't want to listen. What are we doing so wrong? I must add they are angels at childcare, but they're separated. When we go out of the house together, you can guarantee there'll be absolute war. Any advice for this mum who's wondering how she gave birth to two enemies?
Oh.
Anita.
I'd probably put one up for adoption. No, I'm joking.
This is a really difficult one, isn't it?
Difficult.
Because they're obviously great kids. You love them dearly, but they just don't get on.
Well, just because you're siblings, you're expected to get on. Like, luckily, our kids do get on. But they have the moments, don't they?
I think all kids have their moments.
And I think that having... You know, Sophia and Lib don't really argue that much because there's a big gap, but the three little ones, we had like 3 under 5 at one stage. Mm. And Lib, just her nature, is really like loving and mothering, so she was always very, very kind to Johnny.
To the little ones. And it could then, be annoying for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then obviously Jack was the baby, so didn't really play with them, but now Jack's 3 now and Johnny's 5 and they're playing together. God, they'll be playing lovely and then all of a sudden they'll just kill each other.
Yeah.
And you literally have to pry them apart. So I think it's normal. And I think, you know, there's so many different stages of how relationships go in a kid's life. Like, you know, I was 12 years older than my brother, little brother and sister, and now we hang around together. And, we were talking about it the other day. Like, I had a very different relationship with Ellie and John growing up than Ellie and John had together, or me and Sean had together, because they were babies at the same time and grew up together.
But now you're older, you have an amazing relationship with the younger ones.
Yeah.
Because you've sort of caught up almost.
Yeah.
In a weird way.
But I think it's totally natural for siblings to fight. And especially if they're two little boys, that's like a kind of normal boy thing to do. Everyone who I know has got two little boys that say they just roll around wrestling all the time. Yeah. And it does happen in
and
ours.
It ends in tears, yeah. I think we're quite lucky in the fact that those three...
Like, I think having Lib as the referee is quite good. Yeah.
But what's different in our dynamic is that Sophia now is sort of out and she's almost into a teenager stage. She's not a teen yet, but she feels like she is, and she hasn't got sort of the time for the little ones. And the little ones don't want to do what she's doing. So it feels like she's sort of separated and you've got the three little ones.
Yeah, they're a good little pack, aren't they?
But as long as we make sure as parents that we we do things with Sophia and we do things with the little ones as well.
But we do.
And try and individualise it a bit.
I think because the little ones get on so well together and play together and entertain each other, a lot of the focus is always on Sophia. Like, she has her swimming, she has her friend around. Like, if she wants to do one-on-one things with me, I always do it with her.
Yeah, but I think that's important. That's
no, it's so important.
That we do that.
Because she hasn't got that same bond. They're like that together, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. But I think the boys, I think that... Like,
not
hopefully...
bond's not the word. It's kind of interests. She hasn't got the same interests. Like, they're still playing with toys and playing little games and making dens. And she's like, no, I want to put my lip gloss on and do a TikTok in the mirror.
TikTok?
Do a TikTok.
But I think we hopefully this is a phase, and they probably will, when they become a bit older,
they'll love each
other.
They'll
look after each other. They'll look out for each other.
Yeah, like, having a brother that similar in age,
they will
in
battle.
A few years. It'll be great. They'll be best friends.
Yeah, they will be. So Anita, I just think stick with it.
But it is hard for a mom because you think, oh. When you see them being so mean, like, kids can be so mean, and when they're being so like vile to each other, you're like, oh my God.
But 4 and 7 are difficult ages anyway, aren't they? can be.
Yeah.
If they're both boys. Just stick with it, Anita. Hang in there. I'm sure they'll be best mates. All right. Well, I enjoyed today. It's nice going down memory lane, taking us back to Liverpool. Some of your phrases are funny. You know, the people are great. I married one. So you know what my feelings are.
They must be good.
They must be good. Yeah. They made them like that. It must be a good place.
Oh, shut up. Yeah, why do I feel like you're taking the piss?
The truth. The truth.
Yeah, so that's another week done. Yeah. I hope you enjoyed it. And please subscribe to us on Apple, Spotify, on our YouTube, on our website. And yeah, get more crouch fun.
That's it there.
Clancy Crouch fun.
Yeah, it's therapycrouch.com for lots more Crouch Clancy fun. Adios, baby.
So guys, if you enjoyed that, we've got so much more content on our YouTube channel. Click here to subscribe and click here for more videos.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.